All right. So again, for those of you on the internet, apologize. We had some technical difficulties again. And so here we are, back live streaming. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, today, Healing School Semester 2, we're going to be going over the module called Creating Affirmations, Refining Our Words of Faith. If you don't recognize this, it's because it is brand new. Fresh off the press. So, okay, creating affirmations. Overview. There is power in our words. That is especially true when we are speaking the Word of God. Last semester, we learned the 40 wonderful things that happen when we speak the Word of God. It is important as we implement affirmations into our lives that we put thought into our affirmations to make sure that they are precise and accurate in order to ensure that we receive what we believe. So we're believing for something. Well, when we do an affirmation that has to do with what we're believing for, we want it to be the most powerful that it can be. So we want it to be accurate, precise, that would give us the power to see the manifestation. So we'll be looking at two things today: guidelines for creating powerful affirmations, and then secondly, common mistakes that hinder the manifestation of our healing or whatever it is that we are believing for. There are two things in particular, and actually we can expand it to a few more as we go through these next semesters, but there's a couple of things in particular that are the most important, the things that we are trying to drive home into your lives more than just about anything. Number one would be, come on, you all know this one. What's the number one thing? Confess your sins. All right. The number one thing that we can have in our lives that will allow healing to come, allow the anointing to be in our lives, and everything else that we're looking for is regular confession of sins. You confess the sins that you know of at the time that you've committed them, or that you realize that you've committed them, and you confess those sins, you receive forgiveness of those sins, and then go on with the CRRB. Repent, renounce, and break. And then if you go for a while and you're not aware of any particular sins, then you say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not aware of any sins that I've committed, but I thank you that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness," so that we always have a clean slate. Not that we're trying to create some kind of sin consciousness. Ooh, gotta look for sin. We're not trying to create sin consciousness. We're trying to create righteousness consciousness, so that we are walking in the kingdom of God. We'll talk some more about that in a couple of 3 or 4 weeks. That we're walking in His anointing. Remember all the secondary methods that we talked about in semester one, and even covered again on Friday night, is about the anointing in our lives, about having the anointing, about walking in the anointing in order for us to see the manifestation. So confessing sins, number one thing you can do on a regular basis to help you to walk in victory. Number two are the words of your mouth. In particular, making sure that you are saying and speaking the Word of God. Speak what you believe. Not necessarily what you have, but what you believe. So this is one of those aspects of those words of our mouth. Because words set the direction for our life. So we want to make sure that we are speaking words, especially words of God, that will bring about the manifestation that we want to see, that we're believing for in our life. So let's look at the first point there. Guidelines for powerful affirmations. Number one, it should be based on the Word of God. This is so important. Based on the Word of God. It's hard to have faith for that which you don't know that God has provided. So if you don't believe, it's like, yeah, I'd like it to be true. I'd like it to be that way. But we need to have a solid foundation on which to rest our faith. And what more solid than the Word of God? Than the Word of God. So what are we looking for? We got a challenge in our life. Something's going on. It might be a physical challenge. It might be financial. It might be relational. It might be business-wise. Whatever it might be that's going on in our life, there's a challenge. And you're standing against it. You know what it is that you want God to do. But what you need to do is find a scripture that would either be a promise of God. What is it that God has promised us? Or that might be part of what Jesus died for. Part of the atonement that Jesus died for us. So we know, in other words, our whole salvation package of health and healing and wholeness and prosperity and all these things that are part of our salvation package, protection, all these things that are in our salvation package. So any of those kind of things that Jesus has died for us, a promise of God, those are things that we can stand on and know that as we speak those, that we will see the manifestation. The best thing to do is then once we have the word, we know what the Bible says, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So the next step in that process is then to spend time in it, meditate on it. We don't want it to just be mental assent. I know what God's word, yeah, I know it says that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, but we need to get it down into our hearts. It's the word that comes out of our hearts, that's the most powerful. Now, if you're still in the process of getting there, that's okay. You can still speak the Word of God. But what you want to do is continue to meditate on the Word. Continue to let the Word dwell in you and then start acting on it to help get it into your heart. So we're looking for a promise of God, something that's part of the atonement that Jesus died for us, so that these are things that we can rest on. So, for example, we have here in Scripture, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is really an amazing scripture. It is a promise of God, and we'll talk a little bit more about some things dealing with a promise, but it's also part of Jesus' atonement for us. Because it said that he became poor that we might be made rich. And that word poor there means poor. And that word rich there means rich, wealth. But notice it is a promise of God. And one of the things to remember with a promise of God is that all promises of God have a condition. You meet the condition, you get the promise. So we see here this promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What a promise to stand on. But there is a condition to this promise. If you read the verses before it, Paul, by the Spirit, gives this promise based on what the Philippians had done. He says, you are the only ones that have given to me, that understand giving and receiving. So as you have given, then what the promise is, what God says to you because of your giving, is therefore my God. Paul knows his God. He knows what his God will do. My God will supply all of your need because of their giving. So one way to look at this, you say, well, I want God to supply all my need. And you want to stand on the Scripture. You want to speak the Scripture over your life. Wonderful. But are you meeting the condition? Are you giving, tithing, giving offerings? When we are tithing and giving offerings, then we can know, you know what? That's my Scripture. That applies to me. So we can believe that God will supply all our needs. So what's an affirmation that we can have on this? God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that may be an affirmation you might want to start including in your affirmations, especially as you're having challenges. However, let's look at the next affirmation that we have there. In the name of Jesus, my business has an abundance of new customers. Now, that is not the scripture, but based on God will supply all my needs, that could be a very well done and good affirmation to do, because that is a way that God can supply all your needs, is through the business that you are involved in. So this would be a good one to say, in the name of Jesus, my business has an abundance of new customers, so that God will supply. There's a man in the valley, up in the valley, who used this scripture, that God supplies all my needs, and he began to see his business that had been almost dead come back to life. So within like 6 months, he was having a supply of customers. He was starting to have a backlog. Within a year, he was able, through all the backlog, through all the customers that he had, and all the new business that God brought to him, he was able to buy a couple of brand new vehicles for their household in cash, because they were standing on this promise that God has supplied all my needs according to his riches in glory. Okay, so the next guideline is to use the name of Jesus. Now, in this particular scripture we just looked at, we see that Jesus is already in there. Supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So that scripture stand, or that affirmation stands well in itself because it's got the name of Jesus in it. There are other scriptures that don't. For example, the one we have there, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, it's got Christ in there, but it doesn't have Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the second section. So this one, we need to add the name of Jesus. So we can add, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. So we are adding Jesus. Why Jesus? Because Jesus told us in John 14 that we are to ask in his name. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. You need to ask in my name, and you will have what you ask for. So we need to ask in his name. It's in the name of Jesus. That's our power of attorney. So everything that we do in terms of affirmations needs to have the name of Jesus in it. Let's go on to number three. Personalize it for yourself. Now, you can buy books that have scriptures in it that are for different aspects. You know, you've probably seen in promise books or whatever, or your little promise cards, you know, that you pull out a promise every day written on a card. Those things are good, or there's even a thing here that some people might have a calendar like this that has a scripture on it. But typically, it's not in a form that is an affirmation. It often doesn't use the name of Jesus, and it often doesn't even have... It doesn't direct it to me or I. It's about you or yours or them or whatever. So we need to personalize the scripture. Just take this scripture, for example, Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So in this particular one, we see that there is no name of Jesus, and we see that it's directed to you. So we don't want to just say the words as the scripture has. We want to add the name of Jesus, and we want to apply it to ourselves. So an affirmation might be, in the name of Jesus, nothing shall by any means hurt me, or nothing shall by any means harm me. Now, like we did with the other scripture in Philippians 4:19, we can then take that basic principle and we can expand it to deal with some specific areas in life. For example, in the name of Jesus, no evil of man, Satan, animals, nor nature can harm me. More specific. Or the next one, in the name of Jesus, every germ, disease, virus, parasite, bacteria, microorganism, mold, and fungus potentially harmful to me dies on contact with my body. Another good affirmation. So, see, it's based on the word because it's taken that word from Luke 10 and we've just applied it in specific areas of how we would not be harmed. So we've seen that we base it on the Word of God, we base it on the name of Jesus, we personalize it for ourselves. I guess there's one more there we should do. In the name of Jesus, every radiation, chemical, drug, poison, hormone, or allergen potentially harmful to me is neutralized on contact with my body. So again, applying it to ourselves. And many of us have seen where these things have worked. If you've ever been around somebody that seems to be challenged with an ailment that we don't want to receive for ourselves, we're in contact with them, and so we can pray a prayer like this, or do this affirmation, I should say, in the name of Jesus. Every germ, disease, virus, parasite, bacteria, microorganism dies on contact with my body. So it's a great affirmation to make, and I've seen that happen many times in my life. I know my wife has, and a lot of others, when those kind of things have come up. Okay, next one is to put it in the past tense. Number 4, the past tense. Now, in some cases, the present tense is good, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it should be in the past tense, because most of these things are based on what Jesus has already done for us. So it's not like I'm going to be healed by the stripes of Jesus. No, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He paid for our healing on the cross. That's what healing took place. So we say we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now the word there in 1 Peter 2:24, who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So that's the scripture that we're basing this on. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus in the past tense. My left knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Again, in the past tense. Now let's look at the next one. In the name of Jesus, my eyes see 20/20 or better. So we, again, are expanding on the scripture and applying it to a particular area. Now here we want we know that our eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, but we want our sight to be on an ongoing basis, right? So here we're saying, my eyes see 20/20 or better. So as a result of being healed, our eyes being healed by the stripes of Jesus, we want to see on an ongoing basis. So here, it's in the present tense. Going back up to our Philippians 19 scripture, God supplies, notice it's not God has supplied, God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. So in other words, we want an ongoing supply of our needs being met, so we put that in the present tense. Let's look at the last affirmation there. In the name of Jesus, my heart and cardiovascular system are healthy, healed, whole, and restored. Again, it's in the present tense, but it's based on what Jesus has already done for us in the past, because these things have already been healed. So we're just affirming that the healing, the restoration, the wholeness is continuing on. There was a woman who was having some challenges with her eyes, dryness, pain, irritation, discomfort, and nobody could figure out the cause. So she began to affirm that her eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that her eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And within just a very short time, a couple of months, that the symptoms all went away, and she found herself healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number five, it should be accurate and precise, but not wordy. So here's, this is in the case that you have, let's say you've received a diagnosis from the doctor. So here we've got a couple examples. This one is related to type 1, first one related to type 1 diabetes. Affirmation dealing with diagnosis of type 1 diabetes, my pancreas has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Because what causes type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas is not producing insulin. So we're affirming that the pancreas has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Type 2 diabetes has a different cause. In the name of Jesus, every cell in my body receives and processes sugar normally. Because that's what happens in type 2. It's a, your cells are not responding to the stimulants, to the enzymes and stuff that are going on, the proteins that are happening in the cells are not responding correctly to the sugar and also to the insulin. So we're praying that those things would then be normalized. In the name of Jesus, every cell in my body receives and processes sugar normally. Now, let me bring up a couple cautions here. First of all, don't self-diagnose in a situation like this. It can be very dangerous. In a sense, very dangerous spiritually, because you really don't know what's going on. You just have a symptom. So we need not to self-diagnose. The other thing is, and we'll talk about that a little more specifically later on, the other thing is, now notice, in order to get to these particular things, somebody had to do some research. Somebody had to find out about it. It's another thing you need to be a little cautious of. It's so easy in this day and age to go into Google and just go on to, you know, mydoctor.com or whatever the thing is, and look up all this stuff about everything medical. Now, that can have its place. But on the other hand, it can also bring a lot of doubt and fear and unbelief. So you need to be careful. Most of the time, I choose not to, because to me, it doesn't matter. I have a symptom. Jesus is my healer. Let's deal with it. And that's it. Number six, pinpoint the body part, the area, or the function, not the diagnosis. For example, my heart has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or another one, in the name of Jesus, my abdomen is free of all pain and discomfort. Or here's another one, in the name of Jesus, my hormone levels are normal and in balance. So, see, we're not talking about a diagnosis. We're pinpointing an area, a specific part of the body, or a function of the body. Number seven, always include general affirmations along with specific affirmations. General affirmations along with specific affirmations. So, two reasons for this. One is you actually don't really know what's going on in your body. Even a doctor's diagnosis could be incorrect. So it's always good. You may do, for example, the one for type 2 diabetes, but you really don't know all that's going on with that, so go ahead and do general affirmations as well, that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And when we say equal numbers, so if you're doing 50 of a particular affirmation for a particular body part or function, also do 50 of general affirmations in dealing with that. Okay, let's go on now to section B, common mistakes that hinder manifestation. Number one, using the name of Christ instead of Jesus. An incorrect affirmation would be, I have been healed by Christ's wounds, or in Christ's name, my left knee has been healed. I hope that nobody here is doing that, but we find that people that have come out of a denominational background, that sometimes it's hard for them to use the name of Jesus. They want to refer to Christ. They, you know, there's a I don't know what it is, if it's a religious spirit or whatever that's behind that, but we need to use the name of Jesus, because that's where the power is. Remember, Christ is his title. Jesus is his name. So a correct affirmation would be, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or in the name of Jesus, my left knee has been healed by my left knee has been healed. The other thing is, I want to bring up on this, related to, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have found this happening for me more than once. Sometimes I get so into doing the affirmations, and a lot of times, you know, I'm trying to do them, you know, pretty quickly. And what ends up happening sometimes is Jesus gets either left off or cut. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes. It's like, wait a second here. Is the name of Jesus? I think that's a demonic intervention there, trying to keep us from saying the name of Jesus. So make sure, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Get Jesus in there, okay? Because that is the source of our power. Number two, undermining the name of Jesus. An incorrect affirmation would be, in the name of Jesus, my eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So in there, we're doing both. It can have a tendency, I'm not saying it's always this way, but it can have a tendency, there can be a tendency towards undermining the name of Jesus and lessening his name by doing this. If you're not thinking his name is powerful enough and you feel like I've got to add some more in there to make it happen, that could be undermining the name of Jesus. So the correct affirmation, in the name of Jesus, my eyes have been healed, or my eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Number three, again, a common mistake, personalizing disease as a part of the affirmation. So they're the incorrect affirmation. If somebody, somewhere, doing something like I'm doing, was talking about the subject that I'm talking about, and they were to use this illustration here that, my high blood pressure has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Again, this is not me talking. This is somebody else who is doing what I'm doing somewhere else. So, you see, it's so important to not personalize these things. It sounds a little ridiculous what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for my sake, and I'm doing it for your sake as an example. We need to be careful how we speak about ourselves. So if somebody were to use this, that would be an incorrect affirmation, because they're identifying a disease and taking ownership of it. So the correct affirmation would be, in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is 120 over 80, if that's your goal. Or, in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is normal. So here we're talking about a function of the body. Or you can call it down in increments of 10. Let's say your having a challenge in that area and your blood pressure is like 150 and you wanted to get it down to 120, instead of just going from 150 to 120, you can do it in increments. So that in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is 140 over whatever it might be. When that is obtained, then in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is 130 over 80. And you keep doing that until it reaches the goal. People do that, have done that with things like blood pressure, with things like platelet counts, with things like waist size, their weight, different things that people have done when they're not where they want to be, and they begin to call it down incrementally. That could be something to look at in your life. Number four, straying too far from the meaning or the spirit of the word. An incorrect affirmation. In the name of Jesus, John M. Moran will call me today for a date that will lead to marriage. There's a lot of things that are wrong with that thing. First of all, there's no scripture. You know, there was this woman years ago, I guess back in the 70s or 80s or something, and she became convinced that she should be married to Kenneth Copeland. It didn't bother her that Gloria Copeland was already there, but she just, for whatever reason, came to that conclusion that I am supposed to be married to Kenneth Copeland. So she stood on Mark 11:24. It says right there, whatsoever things I desire, and I desire to be married to Kenneth Copeland, pray, believe that you receive, that you will have it. She says, okay, I'm going to do that. So she started confessing that she was married to Kenneth Copeland. And then she began to curse Gloria because she was in the way. She even went so far. She had some kind of Bible college or Bible school or something like that. She even went so far as to, with the help of the students, to perform a marriage ceremony in the spirit at this thing. She got all dressed up in a wedding gown and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Kenneth Copeland wasn't there, but in the spirit, she married him. So, I mean, that's some of the kind of stuff that has really gotten the whole, you know, name it, claim it kind of stuff, gotten a bad reputation. But see, you can't believe for something that's not only not a promise of God, but that's directly against God's word. I mean, is God going to condone them or this woman cursing Gloria? No. In 1 John 5:14, okay, I knew it was right here somewhere. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that's an important thing. So a more correct affirmation would be, in the name of Jesus, God will bring a date with a person whom he wants me to marry. So anyway, let me also bring up another point here that the Lord just, when I read this, Penny and I were actually spending some time in the Word, and we were looking at some things, and we ended up over here in James chapter four, and it actually sent a shiver down my spine when I read this. I thought, whoa, I had read it lots of times, but it never affected me like it had. James chapter 4, starting verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow will we go into such a city, and continue there for a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what your life shall be on the morrow, or what is your life. It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So this kind of comes along that in that same vein here of straying from the meaning or the spirit of the word. You can come up with these plans. And, you know, God tells us that we are to think big and that God is going to give us above and beyond, exceedingly above all that we can ask or think or pray. But in that process, it's not a boasting. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to have a worldwide ministry and blah, blah, blah. You know, all these different things that God is going to do. You know, I'm going to get into this business. I'm going to make $1 million. And so we start boasting about what God is going to do. And it says here that if that's what you're rejoicing in, is that boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. So it says that we are to say, if the Lord wills, if it's what God desires. So in a way, what that means is that we're submitting ourselves, putting ourselves under submission to God. And I think that our affirmations should reflect that as well, that in a situation like that. Now, that which we know is a promise of God, that's which we know is for us, such as healing. It's not if the Lord wills, because we know he does will it. Okay? We're talking about things that of what we want to accomplish in our life, what we feel like our calling is. We submit it to the Lord, and we say, Lord, if this is your will, then lead us, guide us. That's, you know, it is my desire to be a servant of yours and to do whatever you've called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to put my full effort into that. But lead me and guide me step by step. So those are the kind of attitude that we should have in that. So we don't want to stray far from the meaning or the spirit of the Word of God. Number five, avoid self-diagnosis. Avoid self-diagnosis and the Chinese menu. When you have a symptom, the devil will give you many choices for you to select one. So, I don't know if you ever had that. You get a pain in your head, a shooting pain, and you go, you know, all these things come up. What is that? It could be this. It could be that. See, what that is the evil one is giving you an opportunity to choose. Which one would you like today? You want to choose the migraine headache? No? Oh, well, how about the cancer? Maybe it's cancer. It's a tumor growing in your head. Now, which one do you want to choose today? So, or you get a pain in your stomach. And it's like, oh, is that indigestion? Is that the beginning of this? Is that that? You know, my aunt had such and such. And so the evil one wants to give us a choice. I remember one time a pastor was talking about how he had jumped off of a fence and there was a pain in his ankle when he hit the ground. And he said, no, in the name of Jesus, pain, go. And the next thing you know, the pain was in his knee. No, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The next thing you know, the pain is in his hip. He said, I said, no, go in Jesus' name. The next thing you know, it's in the other hip. So, see, the evil one wants to give us opportunity to choose. Why? Your choosing one opens the door for the devil to bring it past in your life as it is empowered by your agreement. So, oh, it must be food poisoning. Oh, it must be this. And so now we've just come into agreement. You know, and so now our affirmations is, you know, the food poisoning has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, or some stupid thing like that, which somebody, not me, said. Something like that. Then if you tell others, oh, what's going on? Oh, I've got this, right? And then you tell them, and they're most likely, they will either agree with you or they will then also report it to others. Oh, did you hear about such and such? If there is any pain in your stomach, without trying to figure it out, simply affirm the solution. My stomach has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Research can lead to fear, doubt, and unbelief. So that's an important thing, because the evil one likes us to self-diagnose and to choose something off his menu. We choose one thing off of one menu, and that is, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's even got a simpler menu than In-N-Out. Okay, number six, being too wordy. Keep it short. Here's an incorrect affirmation. Name of Jesus, my business has an abundance of new customers which come in every day and order a minimum of $100 each of new products and talks to their friends about them. Wow. Do that 100 times. Okay. There's a couple of things going on here. First of all, it's great. The person wants their business to grow because God has supplied all their needs according to their riches, God's riches in Christ Jesus. Okay. So they want their business to grow. But one thing that's going on here is they're telling God how to do it. We need to be careful about stuff like that. In our prayers in any way, you don't tell God. You know, if you can think of one way, God can think of a million. So don't limit him. We can too often tie his hands by the choice of our words. So you look at this and it's like, well, God, if this is what you're believing for, then wonder if he wants to do it some other way. And it's like you've tied his hands. So we want to make sure that we loosen God's hands. Don't try to tell him what to do. Simply believe what we want from the Word of God. So here's some things that we could use. In the name of Jesus, my business has an abundance of new customers. Or if you could do the one, each new customer orders a minimum of $100, including new products. So you could be specific, but let's not run it all together. In the name of Jesus, my business grows by word of mouth advertising. So these are some things you could do, but we want to be careful about the length of it and also about being too, telling God how to answer the prayer. Number seven, covering too many unrelated items. So some people will think, I don't have a whole lot of time. I've got a lot of challenges going on. So I'll just put them all together and just get it over all at once. So in the name of Jesus, my heart, lungs, right hand, ears, digestive system, lower back pain, and insomnia have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, not very effective. Too many things. Too many situations going on. It's better to break them up into smaller segments. Things that go together. My heart and lungs have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. My ears have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My right hand has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My digestive system has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's better to do, each of these five or six of them separately than it is to do trying to put them all together, because then you can focus your praying and your believing. The fifth one there, my right hand and lower back. Now I know we'd already done right hand, but in some ways you could mix those two depending on what the challenge is, the right hand and the lower back. Maybe the problem is you keep putting your right hand on your lower back. I don't know. Anyway, in the name of Jesus, my sleep is sweet and deep and peaceful according to the Word of God. Now notice that in that initial one, it was I'm not going to say the word. You can see it for yourself. So notice that word is a subtle way of taking ownership. So in the middle of your praying for healing, you're also now taking ownership of one of those aspects. So anyway, these are some things that I hope you find helpful in creating affirmations, because it's the words of our mouth. We want them to be accurate. We want them to be complete. We want them to be powerful. And so we need to be precise and accurate how we speak the Word of God over ourselves. All right? Amen. Amen. Now, I know on Friday we had talked about doing breaking curses today for sexual sins, but I realized a couple of different things. One is that it's pretty short notice, and a lot of you probably didn't listen to the rebroadcast between Friday and Sunday. So I think what we'll do is we'll put this off until next time, maybe next time or two, so that you have opportunity to do that. So for those of you who are new, Fred, Carla, and Abe, if you haven't already, make sure you grab a packet back there from Friday. If anybody else grabbed a packet back there from Friday, please give it back. If you need stuff from Friday, we have a different packet for you, but there are things in the packet for the new students that the other ones don't have. So you could do that. And then the homework for today is pretty self-explanatory. So thank you. Yeah.